titled All Access to Healthcare, and we were working with the community-based organization called Welcome Hall Mission. That organization has many different programs available to the population. However, we were working with a socio-professional integration program, which means that it was people who are not working, who are receiving social assistance, and the program teaches them how to integrate themselves back into society, teach them how to get a job, learn social skills. So we were working with them, and the reason why we chose the topic All Access to Healthcare was actually their idea. They asked us if to do a project on this. They had many questions regarding many different topics, so we decided to do it on that. It was quite easy for us to decide a topic. We presented a PowerPoint presentation, and we also developed a info sheet for them. Now, originally, we had a more advanced PowerPoint and a booklet. However, we had to make it more simple for the population that we were working with. Our original one was too complicated for them. Basically, the topics that were covered during our presentation was info santé, doctors, how to get a family doctor, clinics, CLSCs, pharmacists, what else? Hospitals, emergency rooms, dentists, opticians, Medicare, insurance, what's covered, what's not, you know, where do I go, what's free, what's covered. And we explained this all to them, and they seemed to really enjoy it. It was a 90-minute workshop in one of their classes, and we had an activity to for them to find their CLSC and different numbers so that they can personalize the info sheet and put their numbers in. And yeah, that's basically it.
Divas. We work at the West Island Association for the Intellectually Handicapped, and we did a project for the families that are a part of the association. And so it's basically these families, these young families, when they have a child who is diagnosed with autism, the diagnosis can take up to 2 years. And so these families are left to cope with resources, and they don't have a lot of places to go. So what we did is we did research. We looked up like daycares that are friendly with autistic children. We looked up dentists, physiotherapists, financial resources, respite care for these young families. So it's just a booklet of resources to help these families while they're waiting for a diagnosis.
So this is what the parents really wanted. They wanted something that had all the services available to them in a booklet. And basically we created that. And ideally, this would be in a smaller size, and it would be given to each parent as a welcome package when they come to WIA. So that's what we created for them.
So, my group was placed at the community-based organization New Hope Senior Center, and our project is called Better Access to Better Healthcare, as you can see in the brochure. And what it is a tool that outlines all the services, health-related services and domestic services in the NDG Côte Neige area. And how it came about this is by attending New Hope, like during their activities on Mondays and Wednesdays. They had this exercise activity in the morning, a little area to, time to hang out, and then lunch. So we would tend at that point, talk with them, and kind of get and ask questions to get a sense of what their needs are. We also communicated a lot with the program's director, Ada, and the Meals on Wheels director, Jennifer. So based on that, asking some questions, we found out there was a gap in knowledge in terms of the services provided in these areas. Like, no one really knew who did what was available. So we came up with the idea of providing a tool that kind of summarized this. So on top of the brochure, we did a workshop, the PowerPoint, that kind of outlined the procedures regarding these. We also made a poster that has a nice summary below. And So here, we like include services such as transportation, home care stuff like domestic stuff for cleaning, delivery of food, haircuts, etc. And like basic CLC hospital services with the phone numbers and some basic descriptions. And all inclusive, all in one package. Even some hotlines like Telane or other abuse hotlines to call for help. So after we did the workshop, we found our results were really positive. A lot of people seemed to benefit from who showed up. Unfortunately, we had some confounding factors, which included the timing. Our presentation time was interfering with the time in which they had bingo, which is very important to the members. So a lot of them weren't really invested in what we had to say, which kind of altered the results. But we had a lot of people who were very interested in the domestic services and the prices. And one person was really interested in the elder abuse hotline, which hopefully works out in the end because, you know, it's a very important issue. Talking about having someone to talk to when you have problems at home. So our goal for this project is to disseminate this information and improve like the access knowledge for like these health-related services in the community for the members so that they can take their health care in their own hands.
For our community placement, we were placed at St. Michael's Mission. And so the population that they see are the homeless, at risk for being homeless and the impoverished. So this population has very diverse health needs. And so during our community stash, we're trying to find an idea that would meet the general population. So what we came up with was actually the My Montreal Memorial Project. And so what that is, it's a three-tool guide. And the first guide being the pocket guide. So what it is, it has 10 services that are actually downtown in, along the Green Line of the metro system. And it's very accessible. So what they're able to look at the map and see where they want to go for these services. It's user-friendly. It has a legend with pictures. A lot of people respond well to pictures or to words. There's also the address and the number in case they do want to go downtown. Along the guide as well, in the mission, we actually have the poster here for them as well. And we also made a tool that has more of the services for them as well. Because there's so many services in Montreal, but one of the main problems is that not many people know about them. So that was our main goal, to make them aware so they're able to meet their health needs in a better way.
And then lastly, it's encouraging to know that they're distributing our pocket guide card, because St. Michael's Mission is doing a pilot guide project, we would say, where they go to different metros and with a FPPM officer and a social worker and to see if the homeless need anything. And what they do is they will distribute our card if they don't need anything at that time. So it's really encouraging to see that they're continuing on with our project as well. And we were also in the news about it as well, the project. So it was a great success, I think.
We conducted a needs-based assessment with the university population. So basically, our CBO wanted to reach out to university students, and what we did is basically contact student associations and basically wanted to know what they wanted out of a community resource.
Exactly. So what we did was we approached the Black University students on the McGill campus and at Concordia campus, and we did semi-structured interviews where we pose a bunch of different questions to figure out what their needs are and what they would like out of a resource such as the Black Community Association out by the Côte des Neiges area.
So basically, the results that we got is that a lot of the students, what they'd like to do is they would like to volunteer, they'd like to get involved, and they also would like to have opportunities for shadowing. So let's say they could, the CBO, the Côte des Neiges Black Community Association, could basically make the connection between the student associations and what they'd like to do if they'd like to shadow a lawyer for a day. So it's basically in terms of making the bridge and connecting clients and resources.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much what we did.
Yeah.
A lot of work. Thank you.
My name's Emily, and our group this semester worked at Le Sac à Dos, which is a homeless shelter located in Montreal. It's for men aged 25 to 40, and a special feature of this shelter is that they have lockers that allow them to store their things so that they don't have to carry everything around with them at all times. So our focus was to really get to know the population of Le Sac à Dos and see what their needs were. We didn't want to bring in a plan for them. We really wanted to find it together with them, which is what primary health care is all about, collaborating together to improve the health of a community. So through our conversations with them, we realized that respiratory health can be a really big issue. A lot of the population are smokers. They spend a lot of time outside in the harsh elements, and things like colds, flu, and pneumonia can often pop up in this population. So one of our main focuses was to create a workshop in which we would teach them to differentiate between symptoms that indicated they might have a flu versus a cold and how to access the appropriate services for that. A lot of the people that are at these shelters often don't have Medicare cards or RAMQ, so they need to find other ways to access services. So we found an easy way to create business cards that they could carry around in their wallets that would teach them exactly where they needed to go to access services. Another part of our project was also create a station for them to use hand sanitizers. So we fundraised money so that they could have a hand sanitizer pump in their shelter to promote hand hygiene and washing, which is a great way to decrease the spread of germs and other respiratory illnesses. Finally, we also created a poster that had an easy-to-follow guide on what to triage your symptoms as and when to seek help and different resources to use for that. It was a really great experience to collaborate with the people at the shelter. We felt that we got to know a lot of them and created some relationships and friendships, and also broke down a lot of walls in our own heads about what it's like to be homeless, what the challenges are, and how we can better help them. So together, I think we created something really helpful, and our next step is to go to the CHNC National Conference to present our findings. Thank you.
Yep.
So, hello everyone, we're from the Winter Team 2. So, our group are affiliated with the community-based organization Colverdale Mutu Ressources, which is located in the Colverdale-Amabe region of the West Island. And we're an organization that offer a lot of services for families, especially new immigrants' families and that are very multicultural. We spent a lot of time talking to the educators of the center, and one of the biggest priority was hygiene, especially dental hygiene. So that's what we based our project on. So we basically did an educational and interactive workshop on dental health promotion. And so during that day, we started with a PowerPoint presentation for the parents and the kids. They're preschool age kids from the age of 4 to 5.
So after the PowerPoint presentation, we did we divided the group into three, and every station they were able to practice like brushing. So station one was about brushing. So they had time to practice brushing and like incorporate what we told them into the PowerPoint into their practice session. The second station was flossing, so they practiced that too. And then our third station was about nutrition. So we had two boards. One was for good food and the other one was for bad food, and they had to take a picture and Velcro it onto the board. And after every station, they got a sticker and they put it on their certificate. And so after three stickers, they got a toolkit that we prepared for them. So in every toolkit, there was a toothbrush, a toothpaste, flossies, stickers, and like little giveaways for them to take home. For the parents, we gave them a pamphlet with the information that we provided during the PowerPoint. And they also were able to get a calendar to remind them to brush their teeth for, 2 times a day, so brush and floss. And then another sheet on first aid dental emergencies that in case something were to happen at home, they would know what to do. So as for sustainability, the CBO, the community-based organization, said that based on our project and like it really gave them the desire to implement this into their daily routine. So now they're actually gonna, you know, have the children brush their teeth on the daily, like at the organization. So that's how we implemented our project. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So hi, my name is Naylin and my team, Picasso team, Team 11. So we work on anti-bullying projects, so take a stand, lend a hand. So basically our project was three parts. The first part was to record a video with the children at the West Haven Center after school program. So they were between 5 and 12 years old. So it was really based on four types of bullying. So it was strategies, situations. We recorded and then we presented the video at the end, at the interactive discussion presentation. So it was based on pictures and questions, and we presented the video at the same time. So social bullying, what is it? So we presented a video related to it. And yeah, it was a really interactive discussion. There were incentives. And at the end, we presented a poster with the rules of the poster of the center. So what do you do if we're facing bullying? So you do this. And the results were awesome. Children were able to identify one type of bullying. We're able to say what to do, one type, one strategy. What do you do if you're facing bullying? Who is the victim? Who's the bully? Who's the bystander? And so now the CBO, the West Haven Center, is keeping a video and the products, and we're putting on the on their website and on YouTube just to continue the promotion of help. That's it. Thank you.
So we're Team 3 from the fall semester, and we were at the community-based organization called A New Hope, which is a senior citizen center. And when we were there, they identified a need for teaching about preventing the flu, because as the members, it was very important for them to come and socialize. They tended to come even if they were sick. So our job then was to teach them about signs and symptoms of the flu versus a cold, and when to stay home, and also how to prevent the flu. And also because the elderly are a higher risk population, it's more dangerous for them. So we made this poster. It's much bigger in real life, and it's going to stay at the center. And we also made these table stands that are in color normally, and they highlight the top tips as to how to prevent the flu, and those are going to be on the tables when the members are eating, so they can just look at it. And we also used pictures of them, so that was kind of a way to involve them in the project. And we did a presentation where we asked like true or false questions about the flu, how to prevent it. We highlighted all the tips, like how to properly cough and all that stuff. And what else?
Also gave hand sanitizers, so in order for them to maintain hand hygiene, which was also very important as a tool and a tip for preventing flu.
So the poster and the stands will stay there, and we did the presentation last fall just like pre-flu season, and they had a vaccination clinic at the center, so we were hoping to get more people to participate in that after our presentation. That's it.
We had a very good feedback from them. The seniors, they were very glad to see new young faces, and they greatly appreciate, as we do also. We were very happy to be there with them. Very welcoming, very nice community.
we're 3 doors down, and last fall we worked with the CBO that's called Yellow Door. And Yellow Door is an organization that works with the Peter McGill area. And what we found is that this area, more than about half of the population is are elderly people that are 65 and over. So that's why we did this project called Demystifying Dementia. And
so basically what Yellow Door does is they provide services to elderly clients that often live alone at home, and they provide volunteers that help them with errands, bringing them to appointments, they keep them company. So we taught them basically how to recognize the first signs of dementia, because when you're living by yourself, and this can become a safety problem, so if somebody is there to realize that maybe you're declining in your functions, it's good. So we taught them the basic signs and symptoms of dementia, as well as teaching them how to sort of deal with the situation if ever it arises. We created a video with scenarios such as bringing an elderly client to an appointment, and if they start to lose or become confused, how to best deal with that, because it's not obvious to know how to de-escalate the situation. And it's so we basically created this video to distribute to the volunteers that work for them so that they would be able to recognize dementia and then help them sort of calm them down a little bit. That's it.
Multitaskers, and we worked with the CBO in Cote d'Ivoire, Snowden community. We implemented a workshop for pregnant women or women with young children on information about how to introduce purees and how to create purees at home from scratch. We introduced how to incorporate different vitamins into the diet. The CBO we worked with was MultiCaf, which is a community cafeteria and food bank. So this CBO works to increase food security and decrease social isolation within the community. So the people that benefit most from this CBO are elderly people, new immigrants coming to the city, families with low income, students in the area. They can come for a free breakfast, a very affordable lunch. There's different services like movie nights and social activities, internet classes. So we worked with a very interdisciplinary team at the CBO to implement this project and to discover the needs of the community. And so there's a milk program there, which provides milk for women that are breastfeeding or feeding formula milk. And so we used this population, and we spoke with them at the CBO and discovered that there wasn't a lot of information on nutrition for babies and how to introduce solid food into the diet. And so we worked with a nutritionist there, we worked with a community worker, a special education student. We were able to bring the nursing perspective to the community, and together we built this workshop. And we provided each of the participants with a memory aid, which introduces when to introduce each food category and at what age and what kind of nutrients you can include. We had an example of a daily food portions for a child that you could include with some tips and tricks. So each woman received one of these with a magnet to put on the fridge as a good reminder. We worked with other companies in the community and received some sponsors. So Maxi gave us some food coupons that we distributed to the participants. We got some blankets from the Cora in Cote d'Ivoire, Dollarama, and Farmer Free all were nice and sponsored us for this project. And so I think it worked really well. The moms were very happy. They told us that they learned a lot. We also provided the CBO with a film video of the presentation, and so we hope that this way it can continue to give back and we can continue to help women learn about nutrition for their babies. We worked really well with the CBO there. They kept in good contact with us, and it fell together very well because there was interest. And so by looking and working with the community, we were able to really assess their needs and see what was best for them. And so, thank you.
Okay, so basically we were placed at Multicap, which is a community cafeteria situated in Côte des Neiges. And it's basically for anybody, regardless of your income or background, it's for anybody. Breakfast is free, lunch is $1.75. They serve a lot of different types of food. It's basically a community cafeteria. It's a social area, it's a place to eat, to have fun. And for our project specifically, we did a survey amongst the population, and we kind of ask them, what do you guys want from us? You know, like, we want to help you, help us figure out what you want. So we did a survey, and basically what we found out is that they want to know more about nutrition as you age, because, you know, physiologically, your body changes, your body requires different stuff. And what we did is we did a workshop, a 20-minute workshop. It was very interactive, you know, questions and answers. And we also made pamphlets from scratch with all the information we gave out during the workshop. We also made big posters, basically. And yeah, so
during the workshop, we had about 20 participants, from which we had the coordinators from the CBO, and we also had the participation of a nutritionist. And the workshop was very interesting. Most of the participants were mainly men above the age of 65. They found the workshop very interesting, and at the end of the workshop, we had a Jeopardy game where we provided some prizes such as Tim Hortons gift cards, and we also had some coupons at Multicap. And for the funding of the project, well, we had some sponsors, such as an autonomous sponsor, and we also had a Bureau en Gros who provided a certain sum of money for the posters. And in the end, the workshop went very well, and the participants learned a lot. Thank you.
And basically, how we try to continue this, we gave the community-based organization all the electronic versions of what we made, and we also gave them the actual copies as well. So try to continue our project. Yes. That's all. We're the Uptown Girls.
Hi, we were at the Community Dawson Center based in Verdun. We did a project with the teens. Every Friday there's a group where they have a kitchen group, so they cook every Friday, and they cook, like, for example, pizza, chocolate pancakes. So we thought that we could incorporate a healthy aspect to their kitchen class. So what we did, we created an interactive workshop, and we created some tools such as these posters, one on eating well, and another on safety tips. And the interactive workshop incorporated a lot of what is on our posters, such as how to plan a healthy meal, how to read nutrition fact labels, different portion sizes, and healthier options. So, there we go. It's an interactive workshop, so we asked the kids a lot of questions. We had them ask us questions. We had games like guess how much fat or sugar or salt are in these common foods. And they were really receptive. They answered a lot of our questions and asked us a lot of questions. We gave them some loot bags right here as participation. And we had lots of healthy snacks like fruit salad, vegetables and dip, healthy muffins that were homemade. Afterwards, we had organized with the youth worker to have a healthy meal in the cooking class. So we made fresh whole wheat pasta and garden salad. And then we had a quiz with the kids. So we had like a Jeopardy quiz with buzzers. And the kids were excellent. They answered the questions with word-for-word answers directly from our workshop. So it went really well. It really was a partnership with the Dawson Community Center. The youth leaders were very receptive and provided a lot of insights on what would be appealing to the teenagers. And we created a really good relationship with the teens, too, by going there on several occasions for the cooking classes.
Yeah, I would say our main goal was to increase their knowledge about nutrition and safety while in the kitchen, and by their answering understanding of the questions would really achieve their goal. And then through having these tools, it would be sustainable, so hopefully the kitchen, the weekly cooking classes would be healthier and incorporate some of the safety tips and nutrition tips. So that's it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, so I'm part of a group called the Foodies, and we worked with a community-based organization called Les Milieux, who work with youth in two high schools in Montreal. We worked with the group that is in high school École Jean Mons, which is in the Plateau, and they asked us to build a guide that would tell them how to animate three workshops that are about nutrition, self-esteem, and body image. So we did that. We've made three workshops. The first one is about nutrition. The second one is about self-esteem and body image. And the third one is about making healthy choices by being more informed about, how to pick food in a harm reduction way. And in our first activity, we made a game that's based on Jeopardy. It involves questions that the animator will ask of the students, and they compete against one another in groups, and that we did that with the classroom that we worked with, and it went really well. And our nutrition information is based on the healthy eating plate, which is on a poster in the front. And we tried all of the workshops with the same group of people. They're 13 to 17 years old. It went really well. We had really good participation with all of them, and we got good feedback too. And then we got good feedback from Les Milieux, our organization. And it looks like they're going to adapt and use these workshops with the other classrooms in the school and with the other schools that Les Milieux works with, and potentially other schools on top of that. So this is our guide. The project that we made, we called it Être bien dans ma peau, j'y tiens. And this is our logo.
The way that it was going to be sustainable is that this manual provides all the information that you need to do for the workshop. So the way that it's formatted is there's background information, and then there's instructions on how to do it step by step, so that the animators who work with Namibia can carry on and have all the information that they need to continue to facilitate the workshop. Depending on the group, they can adapt it. And yeah.
Yep. That's it. So this is actually the main product, I guess, because anyone who either works with Les Milieux or any other organization can take this, learn the background information about the workshop activities, and so be better prepared to animate, and then it speaks for itself. Some of the people in our group are first-time animators with youth, and they did great. And so it's tried and tested.
Team Recipe for Success. This semester we collaborated with the Côte d'Ineige Black Community Association to make a health promotion project. So their goal for this year was really to promote healthy eating within their community, which is primarily the Caribbean community in Côte d'Ineige. So what we did was we decided to make a cookbook and provide a presentation to a young mothers group, also some fathers in there. So we made this cookbook. The cookbook was made in collaboration with a nutritionist from the community who developed some recipes which have the traditional dishes but provide healthier options or a healthier twist on some of these meals. So there's that. And then also health information at the end. So our actual intervention was to go into the community center and have a presentation. We presented about health information or nutrition information and gave all of the participants one of the cookbooks that we developed. At the end of our presentation, we did a little bit of a interactive section where we looked at some common food items that are used in the preparation of the traditional dishes. So if you look onto our table, we actually have chicken broth, chocolate milk, and milk, and cheeses. So we had the participants get together and sort of have a little bit of a conversation about what are the healthier alternatives and how to incorporate that into their diets. Overall, it was a really great project. We really enjoyed collaborating with the community-based organization. I think that what really made it great was that we were collaborating. Without them, without the nutritionists, without everyone who was there, we couldn't have even started to make this project happen. So it was really great.
Donc, notre projet, nous, s'adressait à un groupe d'hommes d'âge adulte qui sont dans un programme de réhabilitation pour des problèmes de dépendance. Ils n'avaient pas de connaissances de base en nutrition, donc le besoin était là. Ils avaient montré un intérêt pour le lien entre la nutrition et les maladies comme le diabète et les maladies cardiaques. Mais on voulait couvrir un peu tout. Donc, ce qu'on a fait, c'est qu'on a commencé avec le guide alimentaire canadien. Puis, on a expliqué les portions. Donc, on voulait que ça soit visuel. Donc, ce qu'on a fait, c'est que... Parce qu'on peut expliquer que c'est une demi-tasse, mais on trouvait que c'était plus intéressant si on le voyait, qu'est-ce que ça avait l'air dans l'assiette. Donc, comme une portion selon le guide alimentaire canadien de pâte cuit, pas cuit. Les légumes, la même chose, qu'est-ce que ça peut avoir l'air quand c'est placé différemment dans l'assiette. On voulait que ça soit vraiment... Puis aussi, de cette façon-là, on pouvait le passer à l'entour. Fait que les personnes pouvaient comme jouer avec ou se dépasser. Fait que c'était plus intéressant, plus dynamique. On voulait aussi montrer la quantité qu'il peut avoir de sucre comme dans une boisson gazeuse, parce qu'il y en a beaucoup qui boivent énormément de boissons gazeuses. Certains ont été diagnostiqués nouvellement avec un diabète de type 2. Donc, on voulait qu'il y ait une image visuelle de ce que ça représente. Et ce que les gars étaient vraiment impressionnés quand ils ont vu ça. Ce qu'ils nous ont demandé, c'est « Ah, moi, c'est des fois, je vais boire jusqu'à 2 litres de liqueur. » Donc, je me demandais combien ça m'en comptait. Donc, on avait amené pour montrer de quoi ça a l'air. La même chose avec un croissant. Tu sais, ça représente, un croissant représente à peu près 15 à 20 grammes de gras. C'est 55% de la consommation de gras saturé qu'on devrait avoir dans une journée. Souvent, on va en manger deux. On va rajouter du beurre dessus. Donc, ça aussi, c'est quelque chose qui a vraiment marqué les hommes là-bas. Ça les a beaucoup impressionnés. On a eu une super bonne réception pour notre projet. Ils étaient vraiment intéressés, super dynamiques. Ils ont posé beaucoup de questions. On a fait, dans notre présentation, on a aussi fait des conseils de shopping pour faire leur épicerie de façon saine. Donc, on avait des petites vidéos qui leur montraient comment préparer sa liste d'épicerie, regarder ce qu'on a dans les armoires avant, et puis comment choisir, choisir des légumes qui ne sont pas déjà pré-coupés ou pré-lavés, ça revient moins cher. Et puis, on avait aussi fait, pour aller avec le shopping, comment lire les étiquettes nutritionnelles. Donc, on avait amené tout différents produits. C'est tout la même chose, un peu des petits biscuits. On avait fait avec des céréales, des barres tendres aussi. Le but, c'était qu'ils puissent comparer, puis aussi juste pour qu'ils puissent pratiquer ce qu'on leur montre, parce que des fois, on peut l'expliquer, mais si on fait juste leur dire quelque chose, on est assis là, puis ça ne rentre pas, je trouve que d'avoir une pratique, ça aide à l'apprentissage. C'était un vraiment beau projet, ça a été super le fun de présenter avec ces hommes-là. Okay. C'est à peu près ça.
Okay, hi, we're Team 10. We were with St. Michael's Mission. So in 2012, the team before us, they did a poster that's here on a sunburn and frostbite. So we decided to build on it, and we made a poster on cellulitis and athlete's foot, because when asking the clientele and also with the literature, it was two of the most recurrent skincare problems.
So our population is a clientele of low income and homeless persons from their early 20s to the late 60s. And what we did is we did a dynamic workshop where we asked them questions on things that they thought they could feel, tips and tricks, and when they think they should consult a doctor, things like this. And in doing so, we were able to gauge their knowledge base that we were working on, and we were able to use knowledge that was more, or we were able to use language that was more familiar to them. And so during our presentation, we talked about different
things. We were also very, very, we were also very surprised to see that our clientele actually had a lot of knowledge. All that we were telling them, they actually knew, but sometimes it was just a fact of retweaking. So it was a matter of saying, no, it's not really this, it's more like this. But the basic, they pretty much had it.
And then after the presentation, we handed out socks and these little pamphlets that we made that have information on resources and where they can go, why their skincare is important, when they should see a doctor, and information on their specific CLS de Défobol, which is a place where they don't necessarily need a Medicare card to seek treatment, which is something that the clients didn't necessarily know about, which was really good to incorporate into their knowledge base. And then on the back, it's got facts on the different topics that we talked about. That we addressed, and in doing so, in leaving these pamphlets and these posters behind, it leaves a factor of sustainability so that they can now go and consult the posters when they need to, and we can hand out the pamphlets. And the social worker has the digital format so she can print out more. And yeah.
So the only bad thing, but it ended up being a good thing, is our presentation was on the 2nd of April. And they already had received their welfare check on the 1st, so a lot of the clientele were not actually at the mission, but it kind of made it more intimate with the population that was there. So we had less people, but it was more interactive and it was a bit less chaotic. So it ended up being a good thing.
And we spent a lot of time volunteering. We came every week beforehand, so we really got to know the guys, and we got to build a lot of rapport. So we were able to know who we could call on and who we shouldn't, maybe who was more shy, and we were able to build a really good rapport, which I think helped in the end for some professional credibility.
Yeah. And we liked it.
We had a great time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name's Naomi.
I'm Sarah.
And we were with the Cloverdale Multi-Resource. And our project was for children between the age of 2 and 5 and their parents. And basically, we implemented a project where we taught the parents and the kids what a healthy lunchbox was supposed to be like. We actually found out that a lot of the parents came from outside of Canada, and they weren't used to having cold lunches or making cold lunches for their parents. So we decided to teach them what to put inside and how to make it healthy instead of putting junk food like pizza and fries and all that. So we told them kind of tips as to how to make it more more healthy and also more intriguing for the kids to eat, such as like cutting up the sandwiches in certain ways, and cutting up the fruits and veggies, and maybe adding dips to them. And then on the back, this is our pamphlet that we made, sorry. And on the back we put do's and avoids, so what the parents should try and focus more on and avoid doing certain things. And at the end of our project, we decided to make a huge presentation where we actually got donations from IGA, and we were able to make like huge samples of what it's like to have creative fruits and creative lunchbox, essentially, and snacks. And we made dips.
And at the end, we let everyone eat and sort of like look at them, make their own little shish kebab of fruits, or they made their little sandwiches. They made cute little sandwiches that we could let them eat with their hands.
And at the end of the day, they all got to eat them and try different kind of things and dips, and they really liked it. It was all colorful, and yeah, it was lots of fun.
It was very creative, and we also had a presentation to go with it to show maybe different ways of making their lunchbox more creative, because we couldn't show everything. So we made a PowerPoint, and we also implemented the Canadian Food Guide, which we got in different languages for the parents to choose which language they were more comfortable with. And we also implemented that as well, so that the parents would know what portions is appropriate for their child and what age group. And that was it, essentially. And that was a lot of fun. Thank you.
We're Team 13, the Ivy Leagues. We work in collaboration with Plein Milieu. It's a community-based organization in Plateau, Montréal. And after meeting with them and talking about them without their needs, we found out that mostly they do is that they have street workers who work with the homeless population who are predominantly IV drug users. And they said to us that their biggest problem was that their clientele was having a lot of skin issues and skin breakdown due to weather, infections, etc. So they asked us for some sort of health promotion tool to help them better deal with this crisis that they were having. So what we did, after a lot of research, we determined the most prevalent skin issues that they were likely to see in their homeless population, and we prepared two guides, and we held a workshop training the trainers to educate them on the most prevalent skin issues, the causes, the treatment, what they could do, and most importantly, how to direct their population to appropriate resources such as the CLSC, the hospital, or
basically any type of health facility.
So this PowerPoint here, the slides, it was all about the different issues. This was something that we left with them for more of a reference to always go back to. And this was a pocket guide that we developed for the workers to carry around with them so that they could refer to some of the things that they would see and assess what it is, and based on the training they had, what they could do and how to refer the person. We're hoping that with the teams that go back to Plein Milieu, they're going to be able to expand on the project, add more to it, and hopefully it'll get bigger and it'll be a tool that's really going to help both the street workers and the population.
So we're from La Maison Spire, which is the shelter of men 25 years and older. They take about 120 men every day, and when they come in, they have to administer, hand over their medication to the intervenants, which are the people who are in charge of the homeless men. And the staff was saying that they had many difficulties with not understanding what kind of medication they were getting and how to control like the kind of medication the men were taking. So we did an education to explain three types of medications, more like antipsychotics, sedatives, and opiates, because those are three classifications of medications that are just that can have big side effects for the men. The staff was explaining that they have to call about every 2 days an ambulance. Sometimes it is for overdosing of medications, and there could be other related health issues. So we pretty much made a compendium, which is to explain all the medications that the men get. We went through all the medications. They seem to have about 150 different types. And we explained the type, the name of it, the why they take it, and their side effects. And then we made a poster to show, like, kind of some rules of, like, how to give the medication, check their name, check the medication, maybe quick lookup of what they're getting, when to call the ambulance, and we explained about three different medications that were very important for the men to keep on themselves, because these are rescue medications, and the men at the shelter wanted to control everything they were receiving, but we were saying that there's certain medications that should be always kept on them. It's in a case of emergency, they need it now, no choice. So that's pretty much what we did.
Did that sound right?
Thank you.
Okay, so we're at the Maison 5, which is a homeless shelter. It's an emergency shelter for homeless men. And so the problems were that people were often having overdoses and they weren't taking their medications properly. And so they asked us to come up with something that could help them reduce the amount of overdoses that are there. And so we spoke to a lot of people at the staff, and they told us recommendations and what would work and what wouldn't work. So we took all that and we compiled it into a plan. And so we basically divided our project into mini projects for future nursing students and for the staff at the Maison 5 to basically correct it. And these are our ideal suggestions. So whether they're realistic or not, that'll be to their discretion. And so they seemed to appreciate it when we presented it to them, and they seemed receptive, and they will be using this plan. That's it.
So we're at Nazareth House, which is a residence for men who are experiencing mental illness or addictions. It's a residence for post-institutionalization, and the goal is to help reintegrate them into society. The men are really well supported by the staff members there, and they have different access to resources. And coming into the residence, we really realized that in the beginning of our project, in order to make any type of change, we needed to form a very big partnership with them and form a collaborative relationship. So we spent the good half of the semester just kind of talking with them, eating lunch with them, making sure that they were comfortable with us and that we were comfortable with them, and that kind of served as the basis for our project.
So with the relationship that we formed with them, we were really able to approach hygiene as a community factor about staying healthy within a community and doing it as a partnership for each other. So it's kind of a home, so we did it more in two phases during lunchtime. The phase one, we worried about hand hygiene. So we did the why and the when, like when it's necessary to wash hands, why it's important, focus on germs. And we realized that a lot of them were actually really knowledgeable about washing your hands, but it's a lot about the germ transmission and illness and diseases that are transferred that they really didn't know about. So we really focused on that and why it's important and how to make hand hygiene really effective. So we focused on that, and after our first presentation, we went into a phase two where we focused more about showering and other hygiene principles, and we focused on why it's important, again, as a community factor, and through, like Kayla said, about our therapeutic relationship with the clients, with the community members from Nazareth House, we really got a lot of input and a lot of questions about hygiene that they were really uncomfortable with, you know. But with our relationship, they were open to asking questions and collaborating with us about what they weren't unsure about and what they really wanted to focus on. So besides the pamphlet and the reminders that we put throughout the house, like in the showers, in the bathrooms, we also formed like a fact sheet and a brochure that was really focused on giving them information and giving them the details of what they wanted, of the germ transmission and what to do with certain like skin or illness issues that they had. This is pretty much, we had a PowerPoint presentation and we really focused on having them work and focus on hygiene for their family environment and really making them healthy and keeping their family healthy as well.
Bonjour, on est l'équipe numéro 9 de l'hiver. Notre projet, on l'a fait au sac à dos, un organisme pour personnes itinérantes, un centre de jour, dans le fond. Nous, notre projet, on a fait un atelier sur la gestion des émotions et de l'anxiété, dans le fond. L'atelier était séparé en trois parties. Une première partie théorie, comme on peut voir ici, dans le fond, on a fait avec un code de couleurs vert, jaune, rouge et mauve. On a divisé, dans le fond, les émotions, les réactions appropriées à chaque couleur. Donc, on a donné de la théorie là-dessus au public, qui est un public itinérant, dans le fond, comment on se sent quand on est dans le vert, on se sent bien, comment on se sent quand on on est dans le jaune. En fait, dans le rouge, c'est vraiment la perte de contrôle, la crise. Puis le mauve, c'est après la crise, si on se sent coupable, on est triste, des choses comme ça. Après ça, on a distribué des cartons à tous les participants. On leur a lu des mises en situation. On leur a demandé, dans cette situation-là, comment vous vous sentiriez. Est-ce que vous vous sentez vert? Il fallait qu'ils lèvent le carton vert. Est-ce que vous vous sentez jaune? Etc. Puis comment, qu'est-ce qui est approprié comme réaction?
Finalement, la troisième partie du projet, on a fait un jeu de bingo dans lequel les participants, il y avait juste à placer leur jeton, dans le fond, sur qu'est-ce qu'on disait, puis les termes qu'on a utilisés, c'était les mêmes que pendant la présentation, donc des termes très simples que la population pouvait comprendre, puis facilement associés. Puis dans le fond, le but du bingo, c'était vraiment juste de les exposer encore plus à la théorie. Puis il y avait plein de prix à gagner, des cartes cadeaux chez Tim Hortons, des cartes STM, puis les deux gros cadeaux finaux, finalement, c'était deux sacs à dos, très concept. Puis les gens ont vraiment beaucoup participé, il y avait beaucoup de nourriture, beaucoup de cadeaux à gagner, donc les gens ont vraiment beaucoup aimé, puis je pense que ça a beaucoup, très bien fonctionné.
Homeless men. Basically, what we did, we by talking with the some of the staff that works there, we determined that confidentiality was an issue there. So we decided to focus our project on confidentiality. What we did is that we made our project consisted of three different activities for three different groups. We had an activity done for the volunteers, one done for the intervention team, and one for the technical maintenance staff. For the volunteers, we did a 20-minute presentation because they were very limited on time. So we just decided to take one specific time of their day and present with them our project. For the intervention team, we made three role-playing scenarios and divided the whole group into three different teams. Each team had to present one of our scenarios and act out. Basically, this each scenario was was a breach in confidentiality, but they had to find a solution and act out the solution to the breach in confidentiality. For the maintenance staff, what we did is that we created three videos in which we acted out a situation in which confidentiality was breached. We paused the video and we had a discussion with them to discuss a possible solution to not breach the confidentiality. And then we continued the video and showed our solution to not breaching confidentiality. Prior to each of these presentations for each of these groups, we showed a video, we made a video with homeless, with some of the population that goes there to sensitize the workers about confidentiality and why it's important. So in this video, basically, the people who go to Akebano are describing their opinion to why confidentiality is important to them. We also made pamphlets, which we handed out to all the workers and volunteers there. There's different information about there, discussing why confidentiality is important, and we give little tricks on how to not breach confidentiality. We also made stickers that we gave to every participant, just to show that they their respect and commitment to confidentiality. And we came up with a slogan. Our slogan is Respect de ma dignité, mon histoire, confidentialité.
We're Team One, and we're the Ivy Leaguers. So we were paired up with WIA, the West Island Association for the Intellectually Handicapped. And so basically, we spent every week, mostly at the beginning, going to the activities every day and seeing the participants on a one-to-one basis. And we found that a big theme about these participants was that they all experienced stigma of some sort. Even with ourselves, we found it difficult sometimes how to approach the clients, and it was a different thing that we experienced. So we decided that we were going to increase awareness to decrease the stigma in the population, and so we created this tree of ability.
So what we did is that we went to a St. Patrick's Fair, an event organized by the CBO, and we asked the participant to fill out a leaf, and the participant or their parents to fill out the leaf, which is saying like what would you want the world to know about you, or what you like about why. And then we pinned it up on the top of the tree, we clipped them on there, and then after we went to John Abbott and did a workshop about the intellectually handicapped and about how they can integrate their knowledge into their practice, be advocates for this population. And they filled out the flower, and the flower is on the flower it's written what they can do to make a difference, what they can do to be an advocate for this type of population. So the trunk in the middle is linking the community with our population, so it's going to flourish and be really nice.
And so after the tree was created, in terms of our results with the nursing students at John Abbott, almost every single student said that they were going to carry the practices and the interventions that we taught them into their future practice, which is great. Also, a way to sustain our project is that it's going to be put up at the entrance of WIA. And basically, it's going to be put up just as people walk in, so the participants, the parents, the members, everybody can see this tree and what we've accomplished, and it's going to continue to spread the message. We're also going to leave some extra leaves for parents, participants to fill out as they'd like, so the tree will continue to flourish and grow, and the message will continue to be passed on, and we hope the dialogue is just going to grow bigger and bigger. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, we're Team 4, the fall team, and this is our project. What we did is a community kitchen to reinforce good eating habits such as these recipes here. What we did is we used the background as the Canada Health Food Guide and taught people actually how to use it. That's pretty much our project.